Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Well, I guess we should turn the mics on now.
Oh, hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Happy Friday. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk.
Let's go.
This will shock you, but having some Illini basketball conversations before the show, and I'm sure we'll have some during the show as well. We'll discuss some NBA Finals, Game 1 last night. Low-scoring affair. Ugly showing by Miami. I know that they had some tired legs coming off that 7-game series against Boston, but to go out there to Denver, which they're amped up. It's their first finals appearance ever. Jokic puts up a near triple-double. We needed a triple-double from him.
I thought he did.
Or did he get it?
I thought it was, 27, 14, and 10.
I checked out with the last couple of minutes.
We hit that.
Once I saw that our guy Max Strus was 0 for 10 from the field, 0 for 9 from 3, I'm like, I'm not going to follow this parlay anymore.
Here's what's funny about wagering is that I'm sitting over there on that couch, and I looked at you guys. I'm like, Aaron Gordon, is that the kid that played at Indiana? I was like, oh, wait, that's Eric. So
Gordon.
I brought him up, right? He goes off for like 14 points. Then I said something about Jamal Crawford. Well, Jamal Murray?
Jamal Crawford, good player, Michigan,
not
in the league anymore.
Murray.
Yes, Jamal Murray.
And he, of course, he's the scorer anyway, but he goes for like 20. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, the two guys that I just kind of mentioned as an afterthought, of course they go for double figures. But, you know, that's the thing about.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Makes it fun. I watched the game.
I blame Kyle. We asked for his advice on the parlay last night, and he didn't lead us in.
Yep.
A profitable direction.
That's exactly right.
It's all good, though.
I'm laughing at Steve on the U of I lineup.
Immediately.
I mean,
good with it.
I'm like, I assume we'll talk some Illinois basketball today right off the bat. Guard from Kentucky, ? Can I say this before we get knee-deep into that? I've got two things I want to discuss a little bit today. Okay. One of them just came to my attention from Rob, our great producer, one of our great producers here and employees. Do you understand the Cardinals have all three outfielders on the IL right now? Did you know this? Lars Nootbaar.
I saw Lars goes to the IL today. I'm happy that Jordan Walker's up.
I am too, but how in the world is there any other major league team that has all three of their starting outfielders on the IL? Tyler O'Neill is not getting better. His back is not. And listen, as a guy that just came off a pinched nerve on a back, I feel for him. Except that he's been injured nonstop. This would be like me constantly being injured. I'm starting to, but I'm 52 and overweight, drank on a Friday early. And then you've got Dylan Carlson, who's got an ankle issue. They're hoping to get him a rehab assignment soon. And now Lars goes on. So I'm wondering, is this truly bringing Jordan Walker up because they feel like he's done what he needed to do? Or is this out of desperation? Because guess what? Your center fielder tonight is Tommy Edman. Now, thank God Tommy Edman could play center, but you've got literally Tommy Edman in center field tonight and Jordan Walker's in immediately because you've got to have guys that can play the outfield. It's just unbelievable to me. Yeah, thank you. Here goes year 10 of the Cardinals and outfield woes. You remember back in the day with Lou Brock, some of the great outfielders they've had through the years, Willie McGee, how dare I miss him the other day, Kurt Flood, who started free agency in Major League Baseball. Hell, Kurt Ford was a skinny little dude that led the Cardinals with a big hit on the last day of the season. I was there to a division championship. They've had name and numbers of just everybody that's played the outfield. And
Jimmy Ballgame,
one of the best that ever played defensively. And for the last 10 years, from the Stephen Piscottis to the Randall Grichuks to the Harrison Baders to the who the hell else?
Dexter Fowler. Marcelo Zuna, Costas too. Cy Young contenders.
Oscar Mercado was going to be that guy, and then they traded him, and now he's that guy again. Now you got Lars Nootbaar.
Unfortunately, Oscar Tavares, one of those names too.
Oscar Tavares. I tell you, the Cardinals kind of went on a... Things have changed since that. That really put a hit to that organization. But yeah, I just, for some reason, you got three outfielders that are all hurt.
Usually we're complaining because there's two of your five starting pitchers on the IL at this point. One that's done for the season. That seemed to be a annual trend for the St. Louis Cardinals. And we're going to come off like we're complaining, which of course we are. But
yeah,
I will play the other side and say that even if this outfield was healthy, it was pretty suspect.
That's fair. That is very fair. Now, can I give you my irrational latte on June 2nd? You know, we got Flag Day coming up. We got to talk to Klabes. Tonight, you start a series with the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are three games ahead of you, at least in the win column, in Pittsburgh. You've got Jack Flaherty on the hill, who's pitched better of late. It is time for the Cardinals to get right. Now, I say that on the heels of all three of your outfielders are hurt. But it is time for the Cardinals to get serious about things. Let's bury Pittsburgh in a three-game series and let just remind them of what they are. I was actually happy for those fans that they were in first place for a month of the season. I think that was great. But that cuteness is done. It's time to bury them back to the bottom of the division and start winning on a big level. Start winning, start gaining control of the Central Division. And tonight and this weekend are the key, I think. Tonight's the night.
You would hope.
Now, when
Flaherty's ERA is under five now.
Yeah.
So,
when he comes out and walks the first three. This isn't the first banner we're hanging. What's he say?
I don't know.
I don't remember what he says.
These trophy presentations aren't over.
What it is.
We should know. It's in the intro.
Okay, I'll be done with baseball because I know people are going to start texting.
It's okay.
Why are we talking?
I will say that Andrew McCutchen at 45 years old is the best outfielder in this series.
Dude.
Would have been even if the Cardinals were at full strength.
If we would have just given him boatloads of money years ago, you would have had the best outfielder you've had for 10 years in Andrew McCutchen. And wherever he is, not only would you have him, you wouldn't be beating, or he wouldn't be beating you, because he's done that with every club. He hammered you constantly with the Pirates. He hammered you the last few years with the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever he was at before that, was it just those two, or was he somewhere else? Philly.
Oh, yeah, the Phillies.
That's right. I think he did come in on occasion to beat you. Yeah. Okay, now my second thought, and we do need help with this from our listeners on this beautiful Friday. So Rob brought in the aforementioned a Ryan Sandberg jersey. Is it autographed?
Yeah.
It is autographed, which surprises me because Sandberg is the biggest heel in the world. I'm shocked that he actually autographed it. And I said to Rob, why would you do that? I'm like, he's my most hated athlete, Ryan Sandberg. But then I started thinking, no, Steve Yzerman is my most hated athlete from the Red Wings, but Ryan Sandberg's next because the guy blew me off like constantly when I was trying to get an interview with him. So I was like, well, whatever, I don't like you. So I thought to myself, who is your most hated athlete? I know hate's a strong word, we always get that,
but it's fine
for sports, come on.
Yeah.
So I'm just throwing that out there. So for listeners during the show on the U of I Atlanta Lake text line 217-359-2255, Who's that athlete that drove you nuts forever? Would Trevor Valise say Albert Pujols?
Could see that.
Yeah, probably.
We should just cold call Trevor.
We should.
Talk to him a little bit.
His guy, Jeff Goodman, got the big interview with Ray J.
We should poke fun at Trevor because I'll give him credit. So this didn't get aired on the live broadcast, but Trevor, of course, a producer for Field of 68, as a little bit of a troll job, wore his Illinois cap and was on the line with Ray J. Dennis. And he's got a funny screenshot of those two, of Ray J. looking at him and Trevor sporting the hat. And he's like, I don't think Ray J. found this as funny as I did. Which Trevor was an insider on this. Trevor got tipped off by Ray J. because they needed to make a graphic for the announcement. So
thanks for the.
You know, my job's to be an insider. Other people like Goodman and whatnot, supposed to be insiders. Trevor Valise, before the announcement was made, knew where he was going. So
think he could have thrown a bone to his buddies. You know, I
will say that Illinois heard
a source
within that morning, and then I found out. Okay. So
a source always close good. To the radio program is telling us that Ray J. Dennis is going to Baylor.
At 217. See, I liked this guy,
I know.
A fan on the other side of the rivalry. But 217 says Brett Favre, bear killer.
Would you? I always hated
Aaron Rodgers more than I hated Brett Favre.
I mean, Brett Favre had a little bit of that good old boy country hick kind of, you know, like the guy probably goes and drinks Bush Light and makes a campfire at night. You know, so there was a little bit of that, like he's whipping your behind, but it's like, the dude's kind of a. Now, I know he's gone on to bad transgressions later in life, obviously, but back in the day, he was kind of a slinger. You know, he was fun to watch. Slinger. I mean, he was actually fun to watch. Aaron Rodgers just cocky.
Maybe a bit of a swinger, too.
He'll let you know. Just give him your cell number. I don't know that he was swinging. But Brett Favre is one of those that, I don't know, I always just kind of enjoyed watching him play. Aaron Rodgers probably had every reason to be cocky after he sat in a, you know, in that green room for 20-some picks. So he was, I think he just had a, you know, just a hatred in general for the rest of the NFL, and he took it out on you. Mm-hmm. So George LaFay, our buddy, said, anyone from Michigan? Like any person, or you're talking athlete? No, I'm kidding.
Who would be your most hated Wolverine?
I mean, the easy one would be the kid that had the rebound over Nick. Who was my oof? I mean, I know it's like we live and when we live, so yeah, I know Hunter would be the
popular answer.
But back in the day, I'm trying to think. Probably Jalen Rose.
That's a good one.
Like that whole Fab Five team. Don't get me wrong. I could look at them from the outside and be like, dude, they're awesome. I mean, this team is awesome and they're pretty stinking cool. But you know they were cheating, right? You know everything about that. And then, I don't know, of those guys, like Weber was probably pretty much easy to hate. But it was always just Jalen Rose to me.
How was Juwan thought of as a player?
He was good.
I mean, in terms of his person, like was he disliked as much as maybe Jalen?
I feel like Juwan was actually fairly like quiet as a player.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe that's something I'm just not remembering. But
well, an Illinois fans probably had a slight soft spot for him because there was kind of the thinking that Illinois could have maybe gotten him if they didn't go on probation post Deion Thomas.
He and LaPhonso Ellis, right, were like two names that Illinois fans thought, ooh, we might be able to get them. But yeah, you're right. Juwan Howard, I think that's legit that he was really considering Illinois and then he decides to join that Michigan squad. Ugh, Michigan.
George says Glenn Rice.
Yeah, see, I never minded Glenn because, I mean, he'd throw 40 on you, but he was good. You talk about good.
I always liked those B-line players. I never had a problem with those. I like those teams a lot. The Jordan Pools, the Nick Stauskases, the who else?
Oh,
Glenn Robinson the third.
Right.
Trey Burke. Tim Hardaway Jr. team.
Yes.
Like that team a lot.
Trey Burke, man. Didn't he beat us from the hash one time? Or am I thinking the kid from Penn State?
I got the buzzer?
No, like from that. Like he shot like a 58-foot shot that was like a jump shot. It was the Penn State dude, I think. When we couldn't beat Penn State, Was that right? Wasn't it the first game of the Big Ten? Remember how it was like the first?
Oh, you're thinking of Anthony Cowan.
Oh, that's right, from Maryland. Yeah, good call. Plenty of Penn State guys that'll beat you. Glenn Rice and like Big Dog Glenn Robinson, those guys could just, as smooth as ever, throw 30 on you. And at the end of the night, you're like, he's got 35 points? I mean, they were really, really good players. Ramil Robinson, he was a good point guard on that team.
Anybody Michigan football? Hateable enough. I know you just think of the referee.
It's always their wide receivers. Yeah, there's definitely the referee.
The Braylon Edwards.
Yes.
Steve Breston.
Yes.
Who else?
Man, they had some great wide receivers. And they always wore number one, it seemed like. And they'd always get like 14 catches against Illinois. And I mean, they had some unbelievable running backs, right? With Tyrone Wheatley back in the day. And just, I mean, Michigan was just, they've always been loaded in football. But it just seemed like that one wide receiver always drove me nuts. I can't remember that. I don't think I wanted to remember their names. So I just quickly forgot them.
I think for me, growing up in Champaign, Indiana basketball, anything and yes. everything them would be fairly hateable, especially Eric Gordon.
Mm. Bobby Knight, I couldn't stand Bobby Knight. Could not. I still don't. That's what Scott just said, not a player, but Bobby Knight. I had to go to his basketball camp in 86, and he was not very nice there in person. Russ said the Fab Four guys at Michigan had to take a pay cut when they went to the NBA. It's probably true. 217, Don Dinkinger cost the Cardinals a World Series title. So, I agree. 6'5", Aaron Rodgers with nobody else close. Okay.
Barry Bonds in that mix?
Yeah.
A little bit? Or a lot of bit?
Well, I had that story. So, some of these are like personal stories where I was down by the old Adams Mark in St. Louis, and there was a bar in the Adams Mark that used to be the bar the players would go to. I think they would stay in the Adams Mark. And it was just downtown. It's not there anymore, but there is a hotel there. So, we are outside of the Adams Mark, and three Pirate players come walking up. This is when he played for the Pirates. The other two are like kind of no-namers, and then Bonds, and this little boy runs up. Now, it's dark. It's like 8:30 at night. I get it. These guys are ready for a beer, or they're ready for, you know, just whatever. And this kid, he's the only kid there, right? It's not like there's a horde of kids standing around. And Barry Bonds would not sign for that kid. The other two Pirate players signed. And I remember seeing that from afar. I was probably like a half a block away, and I was like, come on, dude. You can't take literally 5 seconds when there's no other. And I totally get if you walk out and there's 58 people that want your autograph, and you're ready for a cold beer after a game or something. I totally get not having to sit there the whole time signing. I get that. One kid, that was weird to me, but that's
tough look.
Maxwell said Sean May. Hard to beat that.
It's a good one around here.
You probably don't have any in hockey.
I don't think so.
You really haven't watched long enough to kind of.
There's only a brief Blackhawks bandwagon guy.
Yeah, and you won. You like the Hawks won, so you didn't have to.
You have to hate too many people, no.
Maybe Claude Lemieux from the Avalanche for what he did to Chris Draper. Uh-huh. However, I could not stand the Red Wings, but I certainly didn't want to see Chris Draper look like the Elephant Man when he got smoked into the boards. Have you ever seen that ESPN, like 30 for 30 or whatever? They did a story with Draper and Claude Lemieux, and they had him in the same room. I mean, there was an absolute hatred between the Avalanche and Red Wings beyond sports. Like, I'm talking like wanting to hurt people, wanting to send guys to the hospital in retaliation for what Claude Lemieux did. But and then Lemieux was like, you know, prancing around after he did. I mean, literally cheap-shotted, one of the worst things I've ever seen in sports. And Draper's got his back to the board, or he's back to the ice. And Lemieux just checks him right into the board and just smashes up his face. I mean, oh, it was horrible. And then Lemieux was like all smiles, you know, at the handshake line when they won the cup, which you would be. But, boy, the Red Wings took exception to that. And back then, Detroit was kind of that evil. They were that evil machine, you know. And so it was kind of a weird feeling of feeling sorry for the Red Wings a little bit. You've definitely felt sorry for Chris Draper. But within you, it's like, there is not one ounce of me that likes Detroit, but yet I'm want them to beat Colorado now. You know, it was just, it was a weird, kind of a weird juxtaposition. Is that?
Yeah.
Coming out strong on a
good
Friday.
Word.
Ooh,
real quick on the note.
Someone's dropping Bobby Knight. They're going Whitey Herzog.
Yeah, saw that.
The White Rat.
Is that what they called him?
Yeah, they called him the White
Rat.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to throw in there on Detroit. Got a lot of long-established Bulls fan. I was too young for this, but I assume that from that old Bad Boys Pistons team, whether it was Isaiah Thomas because of his beef with Jordan or Bill Laimbeer, one of those guys. Laimbeer is probably up there for people.
Oh. He – the 80s, if you can go back and – well, you can.
I wish I could have watched the 80s NBA.
You can YouTube – you can go down a rabbit hole on YouTube of 80s fights or 80s physical NBA, put something like that in the search, and you get, oh, Bill Laimbeer, who was the dude for Ramsey? Was that his name? No, who was the guy for the Lakers?
Rambis.
Rambis, Kurt Rambis. Kevin McHale. Those guys were just mean. Danny Ainge, he'd be like biting you. I mean, they had some mean dudes back in the NBA in those days, and they were all like, I don't know. There were fights like every night, and the Pistons for sure had a fight every night. That's a good call on your end on that. Mm.
Randy says LeBron or Draymond Green. I've never been a – people know this. I'm not in the LeBron fan camp.
Right. And Draymond, I just – calm down, dude. Like, you don't – like, he tries to make people hate him. I almost feel like there's some people that just easily can get under your skin. Draymond, I feel like he just tries to get under your skin. I just, the 217, the old redhead, Tommy Coverdale. He led my fantasy team 1 year to a title. Big Ten fantasy, so I had to kind of root for him.
I can't believe you had a Big Ten fantasy back then.
Yeah, we did.
Wow.
Well.
Innovative.
I was sitting at that assembly hall. I told you this at halftime. I quit shooting. Coverdale, who are the other two guards? Kyle Hornsby, and then the kid that's been a longtime assistant coach now. I think he was an assistant at Eastern for a year or two. His name is escaping me. Those guys, I think they set an assembly hall record.
Not Fife, was it?
Dane? I don't think it was Dane. Maybe it was.
He's been an assistant. I didn't know if that's who
maybe,
you're
no, maybe
about.
That's who it is. Maybe that's who it is. But those guys made so many three-pointers. They beat Illinois by like 25 points that night. And literally at halftime, I just set the camera down. I'm like, well, I've got enough highlights or lowlights. Yeah, Dane Fife is probably – that's probably where it is. Luke Recker. We're getting some good names here.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Recker played for Indiana and then played for Iowa. Like, Luke Recker, like, without knowing it, set out to just tick off every Illinois fan ever. Like, I'm going to play 2 years for Indiana and 2 years for Iowa.
Aaron Kraft?
Oh, man. Is he the dude on the boat with our guy who probably should be at the very top of this?
The boat?
From Iowa. Who is the who am I forgetting? The coach that Deion Thomas?
Bruce Pearl?
Yeah, Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, they had the cookout or whatever you want to. During a dead period, Aaron Kraft was one of those guys.
I was thinking they were on a boat for some reason. Yeah. But, yeah, there was a picture of Kraft, and they got in trouble with that. Aaron Kraft. I think I disliked the Purdue dude worse.
Chris Kramer.
Yes. Yeah. He of his black socks pulled up to his calves, meeting you at half court, and absolutely
hacking the heck out of you, setting the standard of contact early so that you just – you just couldn't call a foul on him every time.
Every time.
The refs didn't want to.
Literally, that's how Purdue won games for about 5 years. I think it's calmed down a little now, but that's more than 10 years. They would just foul you constantly, and if the officials were finally like, well, I mean, I can't call a 6th straight foul on Purdue, so then they'd get away with like 5 in a row. And you're just like, is that not a foul? I don't know. Oh. And it was always in West Lafayette.
Kyle, it's time for you to let the hate out.
It feels good. We're like purging today. We're purging. I'm trying to think in the NFL. How about Terrell Owens? Was he a guy that he could get on your skin?
Mm-hmm.
You got to give him props, though, when he was with the Niners, though, and he went and, like, laid down on the star, the Dallas star. You remember that? Was he with the Niners then?
He was with the Niners and went and, like, spiked the ball on the star. He was laying because somebody came and smacked him.
Oh, that's right.
After that.
That's kind of cool, though.
And I'll never get the image of him doing crunches in his driveway during his holdout with the Eagles out of my memory.
Is that like some ESPN reporter was at his house to, and he's doing crunches?
Drew Rosenhaus is on SportsCenter every night or whatever.
Let me think here. I wasn't a Michael Irvin fan. Of course, that was back when the Cardinals and Cowboys were in the same division. And they would just absolutely beat us every time. Emmett, I didn't really like Emmett, but I respected him. And then he ended up playing for the Cardinals. So, you know who guys that I don't like, and it's for a different reason, but it's guys like Eli Manning and John Elway who think that they're better than football or better than the sport. And they absolutely say, I will not go to this team. There's already reports that Caleb Williams, the kid that's supposed to be the stud, will not go to the Arizona. I mean, somebody wrote a story. There's no report from Caleb saying that. But somebody decided to write a story saying, what if Caleb Williams just said, I'm not playing for the Arizona Cardinals? Like, and he did a John Elway or he did an Eli Manning kind of thing. I just don't think that's, I don't like that.
No, and I wonder if
Jim Kelly did the same thing. Jim Kelly, he said basically, I don't remember the team, but he said, if you draft me, I will play in the USFL. I will not play for you. So that team had to trade the pick to Buffalo, and then Jim Kelly ended up going to Buffalo. I just think that's...
I actually think that on the note of a USC guy doing that, Bronny James could do that in the NBA draft.
He totally could. Where's he, like, 18th? I mean, he's not, like, projected to be number one, is he?
No, I mean, he wouldn't even be a first-round pick if he wasn't having the last name James.
Gotcha. So you think he could basically say, I'm only going to where my dad is?
Well, LeBron will be an opt-out free agent, so he will be able to follow him somewhere, but I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron's putting the word out of, hey, this team, if you draft Bronny, he's going to hold out and I'm not going to sign with you.
Gotcha. That's fair. This purge does feel good, though.
I can't believe Kyle hasn't contributed one name of a player he doesn't like.
How about Ray J. Dennis?
We could do a whole segment on dislike generated from Illini recruiting.
Yeah.
Cliff Alexander.
Kyle's so young. The Cliff Bars that Mike Carpenter had gone. He had gone and purchased Cliff Bars up on Green Street for us to celebrate. And we had like 50 Cliff Bars. We're like, what the hell are we going to do with these? Kyle's literally too young to have built any kind of hatred towards anyone.
I'm letting you guys just go with the older players because I'm going to chip in like Hunter Dickinson. And
definitely be Hunter.
Molina.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Cut him off. He's done.
Yeah. No more. Dan says Craig Biggio. Now, I grew up as a second baseman. I've always respected second baseman, so I respected Biggio. I know he was a catcher and then ended up playing second base. He's part of that Killer B Houston team with Jeff Bagwell and, oh, my gosh, why am I forgetting?
Bagwell, Biggio, Berkman. Right?
Oh, that's right, Lance Berkman, yeah. And I always kind
of— had four with Beltran one year.
Yeah, I always kind of respected him. Randy said Jim Kelly went to the USFL out of college before Buffalo, but I was thinking he said he would stay in the USFL if the one team. I think that's right. Maybe I'm wrong on that. In other words, I never hated Craig Biggio. He was good, though.
He was good.
They had Billy Wagner.
Brad Ausmus.
Yeah, yes. Brad Ausmus. Oh, man, they had some good teams. And then they had the goofy center field where you had to run up a hill. Who thought that? First of all, you got Crawford's box in left that's about 180 feet away. Like, you could hit a pop-up to left for a home run. And then you had a hill you had to run up in center.
And they finally decided that was a bad idea. Yeah. A hill with a flagpole on it that was in fair play.
And the stadium was named after, like,
Enron.
The worst financial disaster.
Then it was Minute Maid. You know what's not going out of business? Lemonade.
Lemonade. That's right. Let's call it Minute Maid. Then they have a train up there that Albert Pujols is the only guy that's ever hit. Oh, man, that.
Such an epic blast.
Who was it? What was that? Who?
Brad Lidge.
Brad Lidge. I about said Brad Penny. Remember when
hateable guy on that team, Roger Clemens.
Oh, see, he was the guy that started this little trend of he wouldn't pitch for the first two. Like, he literally would be retired until the All-Star break.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd figure out what team was the best team to join to win another title. And he's like, all right, I'm joining that team. Well, then he throws the bat at Mike Piazza. Piazza breaks his bat, and Clemens, like, literally throws it like a weapon. I would have loved to have seen Clemens and Piazza go at it. Those were two big dudes, man.
No doubt.
That would have been, like, you talk about a UFC.
The throwdown we needed.
Yes.
Wasn't Nolan Ryan beating the crap out of
Robin Ventura. Just asking the young man to come. He's like, come on. And then he's like, oh, man, Jim, I like this. Any 80s Iowa basketball player.
Who would those have been?
Oh, gosh, don't make me do this. You had like...
B.J. Armstrong,
yeah,
one of those?
Yeah, yes. Who, that was the kid that brought Iowa... I've told you that story. He brought Iowa back from like... Illinois was up double digits here at the then Assembly Hall. Dad was there. I mean, Dad never went to Illinois events that much. But anyways, Dad and Iowa came back and won that game, and he was walking out of the Assembly Hall, and he's like, I'll never set foot in this place again. And he never did. He never did. I said, well, surely you need to go watch him beat, like, Coastal Carolina or something so you can get say that they won the last game you were there. He's like, nope, I'll never set. And there were a few words in between there that made that even more electrifying. Mm. Scott didn't like A-Rod. Oh, A.C. Earl. So A.C. Earl was, I think, on the team with the young man that died. Oh, my gosh. It was one of Paul Lust's best friends. He ran into a snowplow going to class. Oh, my gosh. I can't think of his name. But, yeah, it was tragic. The Big Ten did a big story on him. They just aired it again because the anniversary or something. But, yeah, Iowa had some really good teams, man. Scott Skiles. Good call, Rick. Scott Skiles was the little dude from Michigan. Do you remember him, Michigan State?
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of a redhead, too, I think. Was he from Indiana?
Don't know.
He'd have to be. He was redheaded.
This name needs to be put in there. Iowa brought it to my mind. It's in the Kyle's era of more of the recent. Jordan Bohannon needs to be in there.
Ah, yes. Yes.
Especially after the tweet he sent out when Illinois beat them in the Big Ten tournament and said something like, enjoy the banner that's going to get taken down.
Oh, that's right. Now, Bohannon did do something pretty cool. And our buddy Corey Witt just sent me a thing. It's Chris Street. That was the name of the young man that was killed. Bohannon, Chris Street had the Iowa record for most consecutive free throws, like at like 48 or whatever it was. And Bohannon got to that. He tied it. And then it is pretty apparent when you watch it that he short-armed it to miss it so that he and Chris would so Chris would still have the record and
yes.
With Bohannon. So
that's cool.
I give Bohannon a little credit for that. But I'm with you in terms of that's fine putting him in the evil. Absolutely.
I know we got to catch a break. I never put – and I know that it's a little bit of I think people out there would disagree, but I never looked at Luka like that, Luka Garza. I wasn't bothered by him. I know he was –
he kind of just did his thing, didn't he?
Yeah, he would talk when he was feeling it. Like, I'll never forget that season in Iowa City, Super Bowl Sunday. It was a hard-fought battle. That was the Felice ripping the ball out of Garza's hands and getting the putback, and that was a really great game. But early in that first half, Garza hit, like, three threes in a span of, like, a minute and a half, and that place was exploding. And he let you know about it.
He
kind of schooled Kofi, a freshman Kofi that day as well. But I never really had a problem with Luka. Bohannon to me was the annoying one.
Luka with the unibrow, right? He just literally had one eyebrow that went across.
They were thick eyebrows too.
They were very thick.
I feel like part of it with him, too, was that him and Io kept getting compared that year when it came to awards and stuff.
That's
so
a good
I'm sure
call.
Illinois fans didn't really like him for that reason.
I just always thought he was super respectful to Illinois in his comments, and it seemed like him and Kofi were pretty cool and appreciated the high-level competition and everything. I just felt like he was more the level-headed. Bohannon was the annoying, arrogant guy.
That's
and,
fair.
And the McCaffrey – Connor in particular.
Oh, Connor McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah.
And then you could throw Frederick in there too, because Frederick decided to trash talk Trent Frazier.
Yeah,
and then
he did.
McCaffrey and.
Didn't Frederick say after that one Illinois Iowa game, he's like, Frazier followed me on every play?
I think so.
Well, welcome to Purdue. Can I throw in.
I love that rivalry. Man.
Just because of Luca Garza's dad, can I throw in any parent that gets shown constantly?
Mm,
although,
yes.
Minus the DeSumos. Iowa's parents.
Just because they get. That's oh, you said any parent.
It's hard
gotcha.
To say the last name of Iowa without the first name. Io DeSumo, right? Mm-hmm. It's like it was weird for me to just say the DeSumos. Like it doesn't sound right. It just doesn't sound right. Luca looked like the eagle from the Muppets. He totally did. He totally did.
Oh, man. That's pretty funny.
Oh, and then this is right. Scott Skiles was from Plymouth, Indiana. He led him to a state title. If somebody's redheaded, they got Indiana in their background. I promise you.
We could go on for hours. We do need to catch a break to celebrate a Friday.
Eagle from the Muppets.
That's really
I have
good.
A side-by-side pulled up on my computer right now.
Oh, we need to catch a break so that we can see that. Before we do that, I don't have to tell you can weigh in on the U of I line on the text line because everybody already is, but
listeners.
In case... You need the number, you want to get involved, 217-359-2255. Appreciate the humor. Appreciate we went 40 solid minutes without talking about, well, Lon mentioned his name, but Ray J. Dennis, we didn't get
my fault.
Too far down the road with that one. We do want to circle back and talk some Antonio Reeves because that's a big one for Illini basketball. Potentially, if he hits the portal, that's a name to look out for. But Scott asked for it at the very forefront of the show, and I think it's needed, both for this fun segment and the contributions by the listeners, both for the week that we just went through, to Coleman Hawkins and Terrence Shannon for coming back. We'll toast one a little bit to Jeremiah Williams, too, for giving Illinois a point guard that they didn't have before. Maybe this will – no, I don't want to go there.
And by the way, we haven't heard much on him, right? And there's a reason.
He has not signed his financial tender, so Illinois cannot – discuss him or announce him.
Got it.
But would imagine that comes fairly soon, probably either over the weekend or early next week.
Okay.
But what I'm getting to is...
I'm with you on this one.
It's a Friday. Let's get it out of the way. Get him up in the air. I need this for this week. To be selfish about it. Here it is.
Happy hour.
The problem, Derek, is that we're drinking water.
That is a problem.
And Kyle's down there drinking Jägermeister.
I got a lot of catching up to do on the weekend, and I'll get after that after the show.
Let's
but,
go.
Cheers to everybody else out there. Hit us up, 217-359-2255. Got to catch a break. We'll be back. It is The Drive.
Urbana's Market at the Square has been cultivating a vibrant scene in CU since 1979. Get to know your farmers bringing locally harvested honey, crafts, jewelry, art, fresh-cut flowers, plus produce including fresh leafy greens and root vegetables, fresh baked treats, and a wide selection of proteins. Going on now, every Saturday, 7 a.m. till noon, rain or shine at Illinois and Vine, it's Urbana Market at the Square. Find Urbana Market on Facebook or urbanamarket.org.
Horizon Hobbies, our C-Fest is coming to Eli Field in Monticello June 9th and 10th. This premier radio-controlled air show will feature 150-mile-per-hour jets, helicopters, aerobatic classics, and spectacular night-flying displays. It's $10 to park, and your admission is free. Load up kids and enjoy the hands-on activities. Inflatable monster truck slide, the Raminator monster truck car crush, and the King Sling mud truck. As you meet driver Ryan Anderson and other Monster Jam superstars, Saturday night, June 10th, there's an amazing free fireworks show. It's It's the Horizon Hobby RC Fest at Eli Field in Monticello, June 9th and 10th. Stevie J Broadcasting, keeping you in the loop on terrific local events. Details at horizonrcfest.com.
Think of the excitement on that special someone's face when they receive a beautiful floral creation from the Blossom Basket Florist. Flowers are God's creation that express beauty and love. Make that special occasion unforgettable with flowers that will brighten their day. They do flowers for all occasions and deliver in Champaign, Urbana, and all the surrounding communities. Visit the Blossom Basket Florist online at blossombasket.com or visit them at 1002 North Cunningham Avenue in Urbana.
Strike three. Adam Wainwright strikes out the side in the sixth.
The Cardinals are headed to London June 24th and 25th to kick off the MLB London Series on Sunday, June 11th, when the Cardinals host the Reds. 25,000 fans ages 16 and older will take home an Adam Wainwright London Series bobblehead. This one-of-a-kind bobble displays Waino outfitted in a traditional London Guard uniform. That Sunday, June 11th, great seats remain.
This is Adam Wainwright. Get your tickets now at Cardinals.com.
Hi, this is Chris Jackson with Kramer Siding and Window. And whatever your project, you can count on Kramer Siding to offer you the best products backed by the best warranties in the business and a lifetime of great customer service. And right now, you can save 10% on roofing, sunrooms, and decks, get 15% off gutter helmet, and you can save 25% on preservation siding, windows, and doors. So call today or visit us at KramerSiding.com and let's get started on your project.
Pepsi-Cola Bottling Company is looking for drivers with their CDL and great driving record to join their team. What a terrific company, invested in so many charities in our community and giving their staff opportunities for growth, health and dental insurance, paid time off for vacations, holidays, and family leave. This is the type of environment you've been looking for, drivers. Of course, Pepsi is an equal opportunity employer as they search for a good representative of the company to help with deliveries. Learn more online at PepsiColaCU.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk, ESPN Radio 93.5. I did not know this.
Yeah?
I was not around to enjoy what was, sounds like a pretty funny situation. Scott says, remember when that guy used to call in and literally crack a beer on the show during his call? That sounds awesome.
I think he lived in Rantoul or Danville, and he would get off work and get home just like he told us one time. Like, it worked out perfectly to where as soon as he pulled in his drive and grabbed a beer, we'd be popping, you know, we'd be playing that. And so he called us finally one time, and he's like, he's telling us this. And I think I said to him, well, listen, you got a beer in your hand? He goes, well, I'm about finished with one. I'm like, well, then grab another one. And we played the song, and he was like, so like for about a month straight, he would call for it. Listen to me. But then his job changed, like the hours, and then he couldn't do it anymore. So that was a good call, Scott. 217, that first segment was like sitting around having a cold one with your best friends. That's great radio. Thank you.
Cheers to you.
Amen. That is true, though, because, I mean, we all hate somebody in sports, right? So it's pretty easy to like.
It's fun. It's a fun part of fandom.
It
can get taken too far. People say some outlandish stuff on social media or, you know how that goes.
There's no doubt.
A healthy dose of dislike for someone. I mean, it's part of, it's entertainment.
Yeah, I agree. And we don't really, like we would never do bodily harm to these people. Number one, I'm not winning a fight against anybody that was aforementioned.
There was talk that, you know, like Eric Gordon's parents got, was it batteries thrown at them? There is some crossing the line in sports where hatred goes too far, but for the most part, yeah, it's just kind of it's a fun thing.
But Chester Frazier, you know, handshake.
Awesome.
Go down in Illinois lore. That was, that was great when he came out, just bam. It's like, uh-huh. Then Gordon banked in a three that game.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, really?
That was a a really bad Illinois team.
It was.
And lost to them in Bloomington. Then the return game, if I remember the order correctly, was in Champaign. Illinois with a fantastic night from Demetri McCamey that night. I think he scored almost 30 points.
I think you're right.
Illinois was ahead, and it took a banked-in Eric Gordon three on a night. I don't think he was playing all that well to send it to OT. Some Sean Pruitt free throws was the undoing for Illinois, and they lost that game.
Mm, there's been some great battles with Indiana.
Oh, yeah. That environment that night, I was there up in what was C-section.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Student?
No, I think I was in late middle school, early high school.
Oh. I thought you were going, no, I was out of school, but I was. See, I literally, like, probably the worst thing.
I think it was
thing,
in high school.
The worst thing about me is that my timelines, I have no idea. There's certain teams that I can timeline, but, like, Eric Gordon, I thought you were out of college.
It was like
for that.
2007.
Yeah.
Because it was the window. He was supposed to be part of that next wave after 2005, and that's where the everything unraveled. It was part of the unraveling of the recruiting.
Yes.
Post 2005 for Bruce Weber.
Yep. That's right. Because Indiana hired his AAU coach, right?
I think that as an assistant. Was part of it. And Calvin Sampson made impermissible phone calls.
Uh-huh.
I still laugh at that as somebody who's covered recruiting for almost a decade and has heard all of what has gone on and still goes on in recruiting. It's like, yeah, we're going to give you a 4-year show cause. You can't coach in college basketball because you sent too many text messages. It's like, what?
That is a little.
Not to say that was the only thing going on in Indiana,
right,
but
right.
That's what he got punished for. Yeah. I know he had some other stuff on his record before that from Oklahoma, but it's kind of funny thing with all that you hear goes on. Like, yeah, text messages was too much. He was too much of a clinger.
It's kind of the Reggie Bush chicken or the egg, you know, because Reggie Bush essentially was given NIL money and given all this stuff.
He was supposed to have gotten a house.
Yeah, so now he's like, well, give me my MVP trophy back, because nowadays what I did was not illegal. But the chicken or the egg of it is it was illegal when you did that, right? So, like, Samson, you can't do this. But you're right. That does seem a little bit.
Yeah, it was against the rules. So
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
Supposed to not be happening. And then there's kind of the, which I always, this we could spend a segment on this. I find it kind of fascinating that the unwritten rule in college basketball recruiting, although I know of instances where it hasn't gone that way, if someone's committed, you leave them alone.
Ah.
In college football, it's obviously not like that at all.
You double up your effort.
Until the signing day, and those late process flips are part of it. It's part of the big excitement of signing day.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's always interesting to me when Illinois gets a guy didn't this just happen like in the last couple of years? Didn't Illinois get somebody that was going to another Big Ten school? Does that make sense or no? Maybe I'm thinking outside. I don't know.
For football or basketball?
For basketball. No.
Not that I can remember, like, officially committed and then flipped him.
You know what? Maybe I'm thinking Ty Rogers because he was from Michigan.
Trey Gibbs-Lawhorn was committed to Purdue.
Okay, maybe that's
then
it.
Then opened it up and Illinois grabbed him. But
so to me, it's kind of weird. Even though it wasn't like the next day after he said to Purdue, I'm not going, that he verbaled for
then
Illinois.
He flipped on it,
There was a long break in there, or at least a break. So it's not as weird. But that's kind of weird to me to think that, you know, Brad and Matt are sitting there having a beer.
Let Max Twin City Recycling pay you for your junk metal items. As the weather begins to heat up, now is a great time to put cash in your pocket for the steel, copper, brass, and aluminum items you've been meaning to get rid of. We've recently added a large concrete pad to make unloading quicker and cleaner for our customers. Visit us on North Lincoln Avenue, just north of I-74, or at maxrecycling.com.
P
TDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, TDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
And that, my friends, is what you call the dump button. I'm just kidding.
Before I was rudely interrupted.
We did not say anything outlandish. We literally lost power.
That was weird.
For about 10 seconds.
And then sounded like a hospital.
Did.
There was like, beep. Like all sorts of different beepings going on. I was like, this is eerie.
But in the case that we needed the dump button, that might have been similar to what would have happened.
I don't even know
where that button is.
It's right next to you, to the right of you.
To the right?
See that box with four buttons on it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that the other day because I was like, I think I forgot in the case that we needed it.
Yeah. Now, the orange one's a nuclear warhead, so make sure.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, make sure you don't hit. The other one is the all alarm Did fire we, here in Philo, so that deploys every. So you got to make sure you hit the correct button.
With the warhead, did we take that with us when we left Urbana, or is that still over there?
No, that's
I didn't see that on the moving truck.
Stevie had to move that separately to keep it in a box so that, you know, even a bump wouldn't destroy the world.
Makes sense.
Have you ever gotten on YouTube and like, well, we got to take a break. Have you ever gotten on YouTube and like gone down the rabbit hole of like what would happen in nuclear war? Am I the only person that does this?
I bet you're not. I haven't personally.
Okay. Like when Russia invaded Ukraine and then you find out like China's probably helping them and we've got our allies, and oh, by the way, Band of Brothers, Squirrel, Band of Brothers on Memorial Day was on AMC. I about called you to tape them. It's the best series you'll ever watch. It's incredible, incredible what those guys went through. It really gives you respect for what that generation went through and how we wouldn't have America like it is right now if if we would have continued to let what happened over in Europe happen. But anyway, long story short, what was I saying?
Nuclear war.
That's it. So, this is going to continue like for a few more years.
I have no idea where you're going with that.
You're going to be like, you're going to have to assist the old man when he forgets what he's talking about. Like, this will happen for the next 3 years till you finally are like, Stevie, I just don't think he can do it anymore. He can't walk. His knee is shot. He's pinching nerves in his back every other day. We got to move on to a Kyle. Basically, I'm just sticking around for 3 years till Kyle's ready. He's the Jack Flaherty.
Oh boy,
we're gonna baby him along. Boy. Yeah, we're gonna baby him along.
My career is cooked.
until he gets that diploma. Oh yeah, it's better than Peaky Blinders.
I still haven't watched that either.
That is a good show though. Brad, Coach Underwood.
Brad Underwood's favorite.
Yeah. Peaky Blinders. I literally started that. I know we got to go. I started that series. I could not understand any of them. So I quit watching it. And then Kara's like, no,
right?
You have to watch this. Stay with it. So I started it again. And then I finally could figure out the dialect and stuff or whatever. And I got it. I figured it out. All right. I'll shut up.
Good. Got to catch a break. We'll return. Talk some Atlanta basketball. Any other thoughts you have on the U of I Atlanta Link text line? Hit us up 217-359-2255. It is The Drive.
The sounds of spring and the smell of flowers in the air, they all add up to Spring Green, America's neighborhood lawn care team. They become your favorite through quality service and professionalism. Spring Green.